So, it's great to be back. We've been back in the States now since June because our role in the ministry has changed a little bit, but we're excited about it. So I'll just briefly share a little bit about what we're doing now. So as Pastor Tim mentioned, my wife and I, and now our little girl, we're serving in Southeast Asia for the last 2 years. And the ministry is growing. We have tons of opportunities. But the need hasn't changed. The need for laborers. Jesus said back in the first century to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest field. So the problem hasn't changed. We still need people who are ready to go and to share the good news that we have, that we've been singing about this afternoon. We still need people to go and to spread that good news around the world. And so our role will be informing people about what God is doing in Southeast Asia. And the advantage is we've been there, so we can share stories and what it's like and just share with people our heart and vision for reaching the lost in our world. Another thing that's burdened our hearts is that there are 3 billion unreached people in the world. That means people who have no access to the gospel, who may never meet a Christian. And so we want to see those people reached with the good news. And we know that in order to do that, we need people. So that's part of what we're doing now. We'll be traveling around and sharing about what God's doing and letting people know about the opportunities that they can partner with us in. We're also pastoring our teams. We have teams in Indonesia in 4 different locations. And so we're pastoring them and helping them along the way, encouraging them. When you're a foreigner in a different context, especially a context that's hostile to the gospel, you need encouragement. You need to know that there's a team behind you supporting you. And so that's what Dina and I are doing right now. And we're also helping with a lot of other things, administrative things that will help further the work. And so we're excited about what God's doing and to continue to be a part of it even beyond the 2 years that we originally had been called to. And so we'll be doing this for the next year and just see what God has for us next. We kind of live a year at a time, a day at a time, and see how God directs us. But we're excited about what He's doing and about the doors that He's opening up. We have a few more countries that we think we can gain access into, including places in the Middle East. And so we're excited about those opportunities because those places are so needy for the gospel. And so we're hoping to see those places reached for Christ. Well, now I'd just like to turn our attention to the hearing from God's Word Scripture, which is on page 9 in your worship guide. And you see here a passage where Jesus speaks to His disciples before He leaves the earth, before He ascends into heaven, and He leaves them with a mission. We call it the Great Commission, right? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So today we're going to be talking about living on mission for Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that is not necessarily going to a foreign country, going to a different place with a new language and culture, but living on mission in your daily life with the people around you and carrying out this great commission that God has placed on all of our lives if we've put our trust in Jesus Christ. So we'll be talking about that in a moment, but before we do, why don't we bow our heads in prayer, ask that God would apply His Word to our hearts. Thank you, Father, for this time, and we just turn our attention on You. I pray that You would allow Your Word to speak to us today. Thank You that Your Holy Spirit lives in each of us, and so we ask for His direction, for Him to show us what we need to hear today. And I pray that our hearts would come to this time open and ready to receive and also to fulfill what You've called us to. We thank You for this beautiful gospel message that You've given us and which we've been singing about as You, our God, came down to earth You left your home and you came and reached down to us, people who in no way deserve anything from you, but yet you, in your grace, poured it out upon us. And you died for us on the cross so that we could have a right relationship with you, so that we could have changed lives and changed hearts. And you, our Father, gave up your only Son so that we could have salvation and so that we could be adopted into your family and know what true love really is. We thank you for this message, and we just pray now as we consider how we can share that with others, that you would enable us and enlighten our minds and stir our hearts to the truth of what you want us to do. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So today, I'm preaching a little bit of a different kind of message than what you usually get here at Grace, especially if you're a first-timer. At Grace, what we usually do is we go through a book of the Bible at a time, and text by text, go through that book each week, verse by verse, word by word, and study what God would have us learn from those words so that we can understand the Scriptures and apply them to our lives. We call that an expositional sermon, big word, but it means going through it word by word and studying every little section of what God would have for us. Today, I'm going to do something we call a topical sermon. And my topic is based on Scripture. It's based on living out mission, living on mission on a daily basis for Christ. It's something that as you read the Bible, you realize is ingrained throughout the Old and New Testaments, but it's not something where we're jumping into one passage and we'll be studying it. We'll be looking at different passages and seeing how God has taught this to us from the beginning. So it's a little different today, but I think that it'll be helpful, and I trust it will stir your hearts to realize that you, too, can be on mission wherever you are on a daily basis. Some of the things that I'm going to share are things that I've learned as well along the way in the last 2 years of reaching people, especially people in a different context or a different religion than we are. And so I trust that this will be encouraging and helpful in any way. So we get here to the Great Commission that we just read, Matthew 28, where Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all the nations. And you read that and you think, this is something new. This is a new command. This is something that God wants us as believers to do. And truly it is new because Jesus Christ has given us as believers this mission to go and to make disciples of the people around us and the people in our world. But it's something that started long before we get to these words in Matthew. Think back all the way to Genesis. Think about God's promises. His promises to Abraham. Remember reading in Genesis chapter 12, where God promised to him that through Abraham and through his family, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. To God's heart, even from the beginning, was to reach all the peoples of the world with his love. That all the peoples of the world would become one family under him. Also promised to Abraham that through his family, there would be many others that would become part of his family. He told Abraham to look up at the stars one night. He said, as many as the stars, you can't even count them. That's how your family will be one day. Or took him to the sand. Look at the sand. Can you count it? No, you can't. That's how your family will be one day. See, what God was telling Abraham was that one day his family would be more than just his physical children, but spiritual children. That's why you and I sit here today. Because we're spiritual children of Abraham. Because we've believed in Jesus Christ. We're part of that family. And indeed, through Abraham's family, Jesus Christ being a descendant of Abraham, we have been blessed. And we have a message to share with our world. Think back to other stories in the Old Testament where we see God's heart for all people. Think about the story of Rahab, a woman in Jericho, and we know the story, how they marched around the walls. Before they did that, they sent a few spies into the city, and a woman there, a Gentile, not a Jew, and she was actually a harlot. And God used her and her family to rescue the people of Israel and to rescue these two men as they were in the city spying out and seeing how they could capture the place. The rulers in the city came in and they asked her, "Where are they?" And she hid them. She protected them. And it says, because of her faith, God allowed her to become part of Abraham's family, part of our family. And we even find her name mentioned in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Think of the woman named Ruth, the grandmother of King David, one of the greatest kings in Israel's history. Ruth, another woman who was not born into a family where she had access to God, born into a different religion, born into a different culture, but yet a woman that God sought after, a woman that came to faith in God. And her story is mentioned in the Old Testament. Why? Because God cares about the world. He cares about reaching our world. Think about the entire city of Nineveh. You remember the story of Jonah? Maybe you've seen the VeggieTales. Okay, that's fine. Story of Nineveh, where Jonah, the reluctant prophet, finally goes into the city of Nineveh, preaches a message that will probably get him killed, or he at least feels that way, goes to people who are of a different religion, different culture, different language, people that are hostile to everything that he stands for, and he goes there and tells them to repent, and that if they do, God will spare them. And the entire city of Nineveh, it tells us in the book of Jonah, falls on their knees and repents and turns toward the one true God. So why are these stories in the Old Testament? Why do we hear these things? I thought the Old Testament was all about God and Israel. Well, it is. But part of that story is how God has always had a heart for reaching all the peoples of the world, not just one people, but all peoples of the world, because he wants everybody to come into a right relationship with him. And the truth of the matter is, we have that message. We have the message that could change our world. We have the message that can change hearts and lives. It's something that we've been commissioned with, something that we've been called to. We've been given a mission to go and to give this message to everybody. And I think we get that as Christians. We believe that. We know this is our job. But if you're anything like me, oftentimes we get distracted by anything and everything. It turns our focus away from what we've been called to do. Even good things can distract us from what we've been called to do. Busyness. All of these things get in the way of us living on mission on a daily basis and living out what God has called us to. And we have the privilege today of focusing our attention once again on that mission. Focusing on how we can carry it out in our lives. How we can live in a way where it says in Ephesians, to be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So making the most of our days here on earth is a reason why we're here today. Why when we believed in Jesus Christ, we weren't just called up into heaven with him. Why we've been left here is because other people need to hear the message that has saved us. So our focus on carrying out this mission in the Christian life is constantly in danger of being lost. And we need to keep on track. We need to keep on focus. So maybe in your life, you haven't shared the gospel. Maybe never. Maybe it's been days. Maybe it's been weeks, months, years. We want Our heart is to see you get back on mission today for Jesus Christ, to do what you've been called to do by Jesus, our Savior, who's been given authority in heaven and on earth. So whatever the excuse is in your life, whatever it is that's holding you back today, let's put those things aside and focus on how we can get back on mission. for Jesus Christ. Because here's the reality. People in our world are looking for the truth. And how are they going to hear the truth unless we go to them? It says in Romans that how can people hear unless someone preaches? And how can they preach unless they are sent? So what I want to do today is challenge you and encourage you along those lines, that you be sent out of these doors today, ready to reach your world with the message that is changing your life, because it's real. So people are dissatisfied, whatever religion they've grown up in. Maybe it's none, or maybe they've never even been reached with the gospel. People are dissatisfied in the depths of their heart, even if they are devoted to whatever they believe in. Deep down inside, there's something missing. And so we can go knowing that we have a message that could change their world, that could change their lives. People are searching. People are longing for something more. And it's our job on mission to stir up that searching in their hearts. Think about what Jesus did with the woman at the well. When Jesus met her, he sat down at the well and he started talking about water. He started talking about water and that he had water that would last for eternity, water where she would never thirst again. Was he just talking about physical water? Of course, we know he was talking about eternal life that he could offer her if she put her trust in him as her Savior. Well, Jesus, what he was doing was he was stirring up the longings in her heart. And that's what we as believers have been called to do as well, to stir up this longing that is deep down within each human being. This, what some people like to call a God-shaped hole that is in people's hearts. They're longing for something more. They're looking for something more. And we have the message that they're looking for. We have the truth. So we have the truth that people are longing for. So how can we do this? How can we live on mission for Jesus Christ on a daily basis? I think the first thing that we need before anything else is we need to ask that Jesus, that the Holy Spirit who lives within us as believers, would give us a real passion for people. Our hearts, I think, need to beat with the heart of Paul. Pastor Tim just mentioned how Paul went out and reached the world with this gospel message, how he went everywhere and shared this message from village to village, city to city. His heart was that everybody would come to know Jesus Christ, would come to understand the gospel, and that it would change their lives. In Acts 26:29, he stood before a king and he said these words, I would wish to God that whether in a short or a long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. So what he's saying to this king here is, I wish that you would become just like me, a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. I wish that everyone would do that. And that was his heart. And that is what motivated him the rest of his life, to reach his world with the gospel. And I think our hearts need to be the same as his, the same as Jesus Christ. When we see Jesus Christ, when we encounter him in the Gospels, oftentimes it's repeated over and over again how Jesus had compassion on the crowds. He looked out on them as like sheep without a shepherd, people who are lost and they don't know what they're going. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're looking for. And he could be their shepherd and he had compassion on them. I think that's what we need today. We need a passion to reach the world around us, the people around us. And this isn't something that we can just work up, you know, to really, okay, I need to try harder to really love my neighbor, to really do better, to share the gospel more. If that's your takeaway from today, it's not going to be enough. We need to ask that God would give us the passion that is humanly impossible for us. Compassion for the people around us. It's something that only God can do in our hearts and change us so that we care about the people around us. So before we can actually be sent out on mission for Jesus Christ, we need to have a passion to reach the people around us. If we live out of a real passion to see the people around us come to faith in Jesus Christ, we'll be doing what Jesus has called us to reach the world, to make disciples of all nations. So it wasn't just enough for the Apostle Paul. If you remember how he came to faith in Jesus Christ, he was on a road. He was traveling to a city called Tarsus. And on that road, Jesus met him. And he met him, and the Bible describes it as a bright light, and Jesus speaks to him out of that bright light and asks him why he's persecuting him. Because Paul is on his way to go persecute the very people that he would become one of. He was on his way to persecute them because he thought that they had it all wrong. They misunderstood, and that they were worshiping a false god. But Jesus met him on that road, saved his soul, changed his life. And it wasn't enough for Paul to have had that personal experience with Jesus. It wasn't just enough that he knew the truth. His passion that God gave him, was to reach everybody else so that everybody would know the truth of who Jesus really is. And so as believers, we need this kind of passion. If we're going to carry out the Great Commission, we need God to do something in our hearts, to wake us up, to realize that the people around us may never hear the truth unless we tell them. They may never meet a Christian unless we invest in their lives and try to create opportunities for the gospel. So today, if you realize that you're off track, if your life hasn't been living on mission for Jesus Christ, if you don't really care about the people around you, go to God. Ask Him to fill you with a real passion for the people around you so that you can carry out the mission that He's placed on your life. So first of all, we need a real passion to reach the people around us, a passion to multiply, not to just be satisfied with us knowing the truth, but that we would share it with everybody around us. I think the next thing that is important once we begin to have a real passion for the people around us is that it changes the way we think. We begin to think and act intentionally, realizing that we are not just working jobs. We're not just going to the train or taking public transportation. We're not just going to the grocery store. Everything about our lives becomes intentionally focused on how we can reach the people around us. So even the most mundane of tasks, like Jesus sitting down for a drink of water at the well, becomes an opportunity for the gospel. And this is how we have to live our lives, that we would think and act intentionally as Christians, realizing that we need to influence our world, that if we're going to see our world reached, it's not going to happen within these four walls. We need to go out. And we need to reach the people in our daily life and think of ways that we can do that. We need to be intentional about reaching the people around us. I think this is a biblical principle, living intentionally. Even the call to discipleship is an intentional thing. Jesus talked about it in Luke 14, where he says, "Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower," and I haven't built any towers recently, "but for which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his possessions. Therefore, salt is good, but even if salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So what is Jesus saying here? Is that even somebody who plans to build something, they think about the process of building it, how they're going to do it, how much it's going to cost, where they'll get the materials to build that thing, or a general or a king with his army, if he has enough men to actually win the battle and how he's going to strategically place them to be victorious. Well, as Christians, we are called to be intentional, to think about how we can reach the people around us, to live intentionally. See, the very call to discipleship is intentional. It's realizing, if I do this, if I believe in Jesus Christ, here's how it's going to change my life. Is it worth it? Of course, the answer is yes. Of course it's worth it. Because what would it be worth to live here on earth, maybe happily, but then to lose your own soul? So the call to discipleship is intentional. The call to mission is intentional. We need to be thinking about how we can reach the people around us. To be thinking strategically. How can I get involved in the people's lives around me? How can I influence them for the gospel? How can I create a conversation for the gospel? Thinking about those things, acting intentionally for the sake of the gospel is what's going to reach our world. Because the truth of the matter is if all of us here in this room, we just go to work and we just take the train and go to the grocery store and don't ever say anything about Jesus or create those opportunities, those people may never know. So we've been called to do this. It's our call. It's our mission. And we need to be doing it intentionally with our daily life. So as disciples of Christ, we've been called to a purpose. And we need to carefully consider how to fulfill that purpose with our lives. If we don't have a purpose, if we're not thinking intentionally, we just spin our wheels, right? Somebody famously said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time, right? So you need to be aiming at something. Aim at reaching people with the gospel. Thinking how you can reach them with the gospel. An example of this, when my wife and I were in Indonesia, ways that we would create gospel opportunities. One way we would take our laundry somewhere. We had a washing machine at the house. We didn't just do it because we're lazy. But we were thinking intentionally about how we could reach a family with the gospel. And so we would bring our laundry to the same Muslim family every week. And it came to the point where we knew each other's names. She would invite us into this entry to their house. They had this huge entryway, really high ceilings. Hanging on the wall is a verse from the Quran. And she'd be sitting there teaching her sons how to read Arabic. And it was an opportunity for us to sit down, become their friends. They became comfortable with us, and it opened up doors for us. So this is one way you could be intentional, is where you go to get your laundry done, or where you go to eat, doing things on a regular basis at the same places, or you see the same guy every day on the train. You could talk to him one day, start a conversation, introduce yourself. There are tons of people around you that need the truth, that are searching for the truth, even if they don't realize it yet, and you could be the one to give it to them. You could be the one to share. So think about ways that you can intentionally reach the people in your life, what you can do to influence them with the gospel. What are some opportunities you can create with people, whether it be inviting your coworker out to lunch, meeting up with somebody, meeting up with an old friend, looking for opportunities for the gospel, so that we can do what God has called us to do, so we can live with a purpose, with a mission. So look for ways to fulfill that purpose. The next thing, think, if you're trying to share the gospel, and particularly in relationships, it's super important to be building trust with people. Because if people can't trust you, then they can't trust the message that you're trying to give them. And because Jesus Christ has changed our lives, we can be trusted because we're new people. We're new creatures, as we read this morning. We're a new creation. And because we've changed, our view of others has changed as well. This is why we can be trusted, because Jesus told us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Well, if you can love your neighbors as yourself, then you have their best intentions in mind and in your heart. And so you want the best for them, the best for their life. And because of that, people will see that. They will see this reality in your life, that you genuinely care about them and that you can be trusted. So what I'm telling you right now is that you can build trust because you've been changed by the gospel message, because it's changing your life even right now. Because of that, people will trust you. They'll see Jesus in you. They'll see that the message that you're proclaiming to them is true because it's happened to you. Jesus has changed you. So in your relationships, look for opportunities to build that trust with people so that they can feel comfortable with you and open up to you. And this is something that happens over time, but something that can also happen rather quickly if people begin to trust you, if you have opportunities to build that trust with them. So an example of this, one of my students that we've shared the gospel with a few times, I met up with him personally for dinner one night, and we had a great conversation. We were able to talk about God, spiritual things, and on our drive home, he asked me a question. He said, "What is the difference between depression and worry? Stress. What is the difference between depression and stress?" And I asked him, I explained the difference between the two for him. And then he began to tell me that he thinks he's depressed. And he just begins to open up to me about how he's been struggling with depression, how he's even considered taking his own life, and how there's just so much darkness in his life. And he then just began to tell me, "I don't even know why I'm telling you this right now." And he told me, "I haven't even told my own family or even my girlfriend about these things." And he just opened up to me and told me all of these things. And I'm listening, and I was able to share the gospel with him and just point him to Jesus Christ and tell him that the answer to all of that was Jesus, and that God loves him and cares about him. And I realized, as he's telling me all of this, and as he's telling me that he's told anybody, and he's only had few conversations with me, that he trusts me. There's no other way he would have told me these things if he didn't trust me. And I realized it's not me he's trusting. He must see something else in me that made him feel comfortable to open up and just share about his deepest, darkest struggles, which created a door for me to share the gospel with him. And that's exactly what it was. It was Jesus Christ, because I do genuinely care about him, because Jesus cares about him, and Jesus is living in me. And so I wanted to really help him and to give him the answer to his problems. And I think as you go out with the gospel in your relationships, in the people's lives around you, you can be trusted. You can be, because Jesus Christ has changed your life. He's changed your desires. He's changed your view of others. You care about them now because Jesus does, because he died for them. And so as believers, we need to be building trust with the people around us. If we make commitments with them, fulfill those commitments, showing them a good testimony that we can be trusted as believers. And those will open up. Those doors will open up and give you a chance to share the gospel with people. So it's very important, I think, as well, to be building trust with people in their lives so that we can give them the gospel. And then the next thing I think is important is to be open up about what you believe. The Apostle Paul talks about this, where he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation." Right? So he was not ashamed to give this message to anybody. He was not ashamed to admit that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. And as believers, we should not be as well. And I realize that in a lot of the places where we are, especially in New York City, people will have all kinds of preconceived ideas about what they think it means to be a Christian or what all Christians are like. But don't let that deter you from opening up about what you believe and giving them a new idea, hopefully a correct idea about what Christianity is and what God is all about. In Luke 8:16, it says, "Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light." So what does that mean? Well, as believers, you can be a light to the people around you. But how can you be a light if you're actually never talking about what you believe? If you actually are never showing people around you the light? So we need to be a light in the lives of the people around us. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but freely sharing about it with others so that they can listen and so that they can have a hearing of the gospel. So don't be afraid to tell people that you're a Christian and how Jesus has changed your life. Tell them your story. Your story can change somebody's life. If they hear about how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, they'll realize he used to be just like me, or she used to be just like me, and now he or she's different. They'll see the difference in your life as you begin to tell them. And this is how you can teach people about God's love and His grace and the power of the gospel that's changed your life. So people want to hear. They want to hear about what you believe. They're interested. There's so many people that are interested in what we believe because, frankly, deep down, they don't know what they believe. And they're searching and they're looking. So be free. Be open up about what you believe. Share with them. And you want to foster that kind of conversation that creates an opportunity for them to ask us questions and ask us about what we believe and what Christians really are like. So you want to look for those doors and create a comfortable atmosphere for people to open up about what they believe and to ask those questions. So it's important as well to be open, to be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And the next thing is living out the gospel. And this is something that Paul himself modeled for us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." So here Paul is saying that he didn't just impart, he didn't just give the gospel with what he said, but with his own life, he lived out the message that he believed. And this is how it should be in our lives on a daily basis, that everything that we do in our lives reflects back to Jesus Christ and the message that we say has changed us. That we live out the gospel on a daily basis so that it will create opportunities for us to share that message in word or for somebody else. You never know. We had an opportunity with one student this past semester to share the gospel with him. And as we began to talk to him, we're drinking coffee, talking to him. He's asking us a little bit about what Western society is like. And it opened up to conversations about Christianity. And then he began to tell us that he really admires Christians. And we listened to him talk, and he began to tell us that he's had a friend at his college that has really reached out to him. It's a Christian friend of his. And he lives about 3 hours from his home, and so he has no family in the city where he's at. He has no transportation. He's very limited in what he can do there. But his Christian friend that lives in the city and goes to school with him has reached out to him and has just done different things to make him feel comfortable and to help him. Like, he would specifically go to this boy's boarding house and pick him up for class in the mornings and bring him to campus and then take him back in the evenings. And because this boy, this Christian young man, did that, it gave us an opportunity for the gospel in this Muslim young man's life, because that Christian was living out the gospel message that had changed his life. He was showing kindness because he had been shown kindness. And it opened up an opportunity for us to give the gospel. And so you never know, as you live out the gospel, maybe you aren't the one that is able to plant that seed in somebody's life, but it will open up the opportunity for another believer to come on and think, oh yeah, I had a really good experience with a Christian one time, and they really showed love to me. This is the kind of life we need to be living if we're going to change our world, if we're going to live on mission on a daily basis. It infiltrates every area of our lives so that we are living out a message that has changed our lives, and people will see it. They'll see how different we are. And once again, this isn't something we work up and we just try to do all these good things. No, if you're a believer, God's Holy Spirit lives within you. It says in Galatians that Christ lives in us. It's no longer I who live, but Christ is living in me. So the life of Christ is lived in and through your life, so that the people around you who see you and see the way that you live realize Jesus Christ is living in them. There's something different about them. I really admire them. And it'll create opportunities for the gospel. So living out the message we believed is what we've been called to do. And people, as I mentioned before, have all kinds of preconceived ideas of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow Jesus. And oftentimes, they're really bad ideas. And so we need to be living out the gospel in their life so that they can understand what God is like, what Jesus is like, and so that we can create opportunities for the gospel in their lives. Because if, as believers, if we have been forgiven, we should forgive, right? This is living out the gospel. We've been forgiven, we should forgive. If we've been shown mercy, we should show mercy. If we've been given grace, we should give grace to others. That's what it means. And this is what will change the people around us as we live out the gospel message that is changing our lives. We're almost finished. The next thing that I think is very important as believers is to step out in confidence. Because it's easy to be hesitant and to think about how everybody is going to respond to us as soon as we talk about God or Jesus. But the promises in the Scripture are true. Promises of an abundant harvest, as Jesus promised. There is a harvest that is ready to be reaped. People that are ready to believe, because God's Spirit is already at work in their hearts and lives. So we can have confidence as we go out. We can have confidence because God has promised in His Word that He does not want anybody to perish, but He wants all people to come to repentance. These are promises that as we step out the door each day, we can take with us and pray in faith upon these promises, asking that God would give us opportunities. See, God, Your heart is to reach all people. Use me today to do that. God, You've promised that there is an abundant harvest. Help me to see who are the people You're working in. Who are the people that are searching for the truth? Who are the people that I can influence today? So this is how we need to live. Not hesitant or reluctant to give the gospel, but confidently stepping out, realizing that we have a message that has changed our lives and it can change the lives of everybody around us, and that we have promises as we walk out those doors each day that will encourage us and give us the faith to be involved in the people around us and not to be ashamed of what we believe. So look for opportunities, but stepping out in confidence in those opportunities, realizing that God's Spirit is already at work in people's hearts and lives. And that is not you who is going there to change them, but that it is His Spirit, and you go with His Word, the Gospel, into their lives, the power of God, and you have a message that will change them as you go. So step out in confidence, knowing that what you do is what God has called you to do, and He's enabling you to do it. And that's my last point, is that as we do this, we can be encouraged in it. We don't have to do it reluctantly. We don't have to do it without any kind of joy. We can do it with joy, knowing that Jesus Christ is with us. This is one of my most favorite promises in Scripture. In the Great Commission that we read at the beginning, Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, "Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That is a promise from Jesus Christ that as we go out and live on this mission for Jesus Christ, reaching into the lives of the people around us, that we don't go it alone. He is with us each step of the way, encouraging you, enabling you to do it, enabling you to live out the mission that He's called you to. You don't do it in your own strength. He's there, right there with you. And that can be an encouraging thing, especially in your workplace, or especially in the places where you feel least comfortable to do this, that Jesus Christ is with you, and you can be encouraged as you share about what He's done in your life and what He can do in theirs. So Jesus Christ is with us. This is a promise, another promise from God that you can stand upon. Jesus has promised, so we go out on mission for Him, that He'll be with us. And He said that He'll be with us even to the end of the age. He'll be with us to the end of the age. So He is with you, doing in and through you what He's called you to do. You don't do it in your own strength. So even in an environment that's hostile, in an environment where you feel like a misfit, we can be encouraged knowing that Jesus Christ, the one who's died for us, the one who has risen again for us, and the one who is coming back, is right there with us as we share the gospel with the people around us. There was a missionary in the 1800s. His name was John Peyton. And he was a missionary from Scotland who went to an island area called the New Hebrides, a place that was full of people who had grown up in a tribal culture, many of whom were cannibals. And he had gone there knowing that God called him to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he went there realizing that he'd be the only foreigner in that place, probably the first foreigner these people ever met, knowing that he'd probably face hostility, maybe even risking his own life, but knowing that God loved them and wanted them to hear the message of the gospel. And so he went to their culture, to their context, to their islands, and did just that, reached these people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was one point in his ministry, though, where he was pretty much abandoned, and the only one left on the island, his wife had passed away, and several of his children as well. But yet he stayed and was trying to reach these people with the gospel. And there came a point where there was some kind of tribal conflict, and one of the neighboring tribes came and attacked their village. And those people wanted to get John Peyton and to kill him and then eat him, because they were cannibals. So he spent the entire night running away and trying to find safety. And one night, he climbs up a tree as a way to safety, and ends up falling asleep at night. And what put him to sleep that night was this very promise we just read, that Jesus Christ was with him even to the end of the age. As he thought about that, and he thought about the call of God in his life to go to these people with the gospel, knowing that God loves them and wants them to become followers, to be brought back into a right relationship with Him. But as John went, he realized, I'm not doing this alone. Jesus Christ is with me here in this tree. And he fell asleep, meditating on those powerful words. Well, as believers, maybe we don't live in a place where we're being chased around and people are thinking about eating us for dinner. But we may live in a context that is hostile to what we believe. They don't understand anything about what we believe. They may think that what we believe is funny or strange, but we have a message that can change their lives. And what we're doing is trying to create those doors, those opportunities to share the gospel with them. And as we do that, we can be encouraged because Jesus Christ is with us and we don't need to fear anything because He's with us and He's empowering us to carry out the mission we've been called to. So as we step out these doors today, realize that you have been tasked with a mission of reaching the people around you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In order to reach the people around us, we need to think and act intentionally, thinking about how we can reach them with the gospel. We need to build their trust. We need to be open with them about what we believe, fostering a kind of environment and atmosphere where they feel comfortable talking to us, and living out the gospel in their lives to create opportunities for them to hear the gospel, because they realize what we do on a daily basis is true. Be confident as you go out, believing that God is going to work, and be encouraged knowing that you don't go alone. Jesus Christ is with you. So let's do that. Let's step out these doors today on mission for Jesus Christ. So if you lost your focus, get back on focus now, realizing what God has called you to, and let Him use you and the people around you. Let's close in a word of prayer.